Hello, everybody out there.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Just when you thought radio was safe.
Yes. Just when you thought radio was safe. Just when you thought we were supposed to stop. Just when we just didn't get on the air this morning. We've had a storm here. We've had flooding. We've had electric go out. We lost internet. And we are finally back on. So all you folks that have been looking for a show for the last 15 minutes, we've been here scrambling trying to get the Green Ideas radio show going. And we are here finally. So let me get my sidekicks that have all been waiting to stand by. Oh, wow. Hey, Brian. Oh, see, we lost Brian. Hey, Laurie.
I'm here. I got my boat out and I'm ready to row.
Unbelievable. Hey.
I know.
Crazy bitch, are you there?
Of course I am.
Hi, Gina.
Oh, my gosh.
The first thing I want to say is I'm recouping from strep throat, so please excuse the voice.
Okay, well, we'll excuse your voice. Please excuse the fact that we have technical difficulties up the rear end today. And unbelievable. Everything went out, and we lost internet. We lost everything. But looks like the hamsters are running now, so we're the wheel's turning, and we're back on the air. So we're way behind, of course. So everybody who's listening, today we're supposed to have Brian calling back in here in a second, but we've got Gina Metcalf-Lee. Your name's too long. I'm just going to call you Gina. Crazy bitch.
Gina
crazy
Lee.
Bitch
that, or are you crazy?
Gina Lee. There you go. She's joining us. And as Brian calls her, a stunt double. She's going to be a stunt double today on the show. And then we've got Laurie, of course, the New Jersey-style food news girl. And it looks like we've got Brian calling in. Hold on. Let's see if we got Brian. Hey, Brian.
Hey, why do you keep me on hold and lose your power? What's going on? You never keep the czar on hold. Never.
Oh, my God. You missed all the intro, but we've had nothing but a mess here today. So anyway, guys, what we're going to try to do is get this show rolling here and get back to sounding halfway professional. We have our first guest calling in. At least I hope it's her. We've got the lady from Yummy Nation, Beth Peterson, and I believe this is her number. Let's press the button and see. Beth Peterson, are you there? No, maybe she's not. Larry Vegas. Well, I don't know who that is, but I had to put you back on hold. So how's everybody doing?
I'm great. You know, I'm here on location in Williamsburg. I'm pouring at a big event, and thank God I have a friend and colleague helping me pour, so I've stepped away from the table for a moment. But I am so happy to have my sister Gina with me. You are going to get such a beat down today, Mr. Brilliant. It's
I
not
already sent
funny.
Him a text. I wanted to know if you had ditched me already.
No, I didn't. I thought about it, but no. Well, let's see, Brian, so what are you doing? You're pouring wine where? What kind of event?
I'm in Williamsburg, Virginia. At a festival called the Occasion to the Arts. They do this every fall. They have lots of artists that set up kiosks and people walk around and look at all the art and buy. And, you know, we may have a little bit of a farmer's market. And then the chef who owns three restaurants, Blue Talon, Doug Street Pub, and Trellis, hosts a tent where we bring in anywhere between 6 and 8 vendors pouring wine. We've got some people pouring spirits, some people pouring beer, and then there's food, and you can buy a ticket. I don't remember exactly how much it is, but it's well worth the money because there's tons of wine. I'm pouring 9 wines on my table.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's tons of fun. It runs today and tomorrow from 11:30 to 4. So if you're in Williamsburg, come on down, say hi.
Yes, go by and say hi. It's not like you're having fun. Now, Gina, Gina, I wanted to have you on because you and I have been communicating back and forth on Facebook and emails. And by the way, Gina, guys, if you don't know, she's got Crazy Bitch Barbecue Sauce, like I mentioned earlier, which is great stuff. And Gina has gone from, I guess you would say, a mom and pop to now she's dealing with co-packers. And I wanted to have her on this
one. No, just the mom. There is no pop. There is no pop.
There is no pop. Okay, just the mom operation.
It's
now
just
she's
a
gone.
Mom operation.
Love it.
Get that clarified right up front.
All right. There is no pop. So a mom operation has gone into co-packing, so she's getting into the big time. And some of the things you were telling me is very interesting, and I wanted to share this with people. If you ever want to come out with your own product, there's all the ups and downs of getting started and getting the labeling and getting everything going in the supermarkets, et cetera, et cetera. And then you got to deal with co-packers. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Gina. Tell us about what's going on with Crazy Bitch Sauces as it stands right now.
As we stand right now, let's back up a little bit. I tried to hire a co-packer, and when you hire a co-packer, the first thing that they do is, you know, they sign non-disclosures and all that. We did all that, which I was really nervous giving out my secret recipe, you know.
Right.
But I did all that, and they sent me a sample batch. It didn't look like my sauce. It didn't smell like my sauce. It didn't taste like my sauce. Oh, I was so frustrated. Because I have six different flavors of sauce. All six of them were wrong. Thank goodness that they're here in Florida, because I'm in Tallahassee, Florida. They're in Clearwater. So I scheduled a meeting to go in there and cook in the professional plant. Oh, my gosh, it was amazing. I was in heaven. I want that in my kitchen, all that stuff. But worked side by side with the chef, and I uncovered quite a few things that caused this.
Hey, Gina, do you have the computer on behind you?
No,
We got feedback from somebody. You're getting feedback for some reason. Yeah, it's bad. Yeah, that's bad.
I'm on my cell, so.
All right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your story, but we were getting a lot of feedback.
I'm sorry, is it better?
Yes, that's better.
Yeah. Okay, I won't move. I uncovered several different things that I thought everybody should know about.
Is you on a speakerphone?
We're still getting feedback. Are you on a speakerphone?
No.
This is like one of those disastrous days. We're getting feedback on your phone. Call back in, and we'll try it again. All right. You know what? I'm going to go try and see if we got a guest. Hey, Brian, you having fun?
I'm having fun. Are you getting feedback from me? You might have been getting a lot of crowd noise in the background.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
All right. I think our guest, let me get rid of Gina here. Boom. She'll call back. Hold on. Okay.
Hey, look, guys,
I'm gonna
check in with you toward the end of the show because I don't want to leave my colleague alone too long. So have a great show, and I'll check back with you before we close.
Go pour some wine. We'll see you.
Right. I'm gonna go drink some wine.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Lucky dog.
Bye. Oh, my God, this is amazing today. Okay, now, I've got a bunch of lines here. I don't know who's on first and what's on second. Is that anything like new, Laurie? That's typical Green Ideas Radio.
Oh, of course.
Okay, let's see here. What time is it? It's 11:50. I don't know who is who, so I'm going to take a chance here. Let's see here. Let's press this button. Who we got on this line?
Hey, this is Beth Peterson.
All right, hey. Beth. How are you, Beth? Welcome to the show.
Good. Hey, guys.
She's coming in nice and clear, too.
We're having all kinds of technical difficulties today. We had a flood last night. The tides came in. We've had storms. We lost power. And then we lost internet. So our system is all screwed up. But welcome to the show anyway.
Well, thanks. It sounds like it's been quite a morning for you.
It has. By the way, folks, Beth Peterson is from Yummy Nation, and she's the founder and chief, I love this, Yummy Officer of Yummy Nation. And Yummy Nation is a website of food bloggers And that's about all I know about it, to be perfectly honest. That's why we had you on the show. Welcome to the show. Now tell us all about Yummy Nation.
Thank you. Oh, Yummy Nation is such a delicious place to be. We have about 100 food bloggers that are that post every month onto our site. So we kind of look at as, you know, sort of like, you know, you're off on your own and you're food blogging and you've got your audience, but this is a place where, like, everyone can come and see all different genres of food blogging, and it really kind of is like this army of food bloggers with all their different takes on, you know, food and food media. There's, you know, people put videos and podcasters, all sorts of, you know, food-focused people are on our site.
Now, how long have you been doing Yummy Nation?
Well, Yummy Nation has been around only for about 6 months, and we already have over 100 food bloggers that have found us
in
our part of our community.
Oh, that's
yeah,
cool.
it's really growing strong. And one of the big programs that we're doing. So what we're doing with Yummy Nation is we're really, you know, we have this great community where we have all of these food bloggers posting and showcasing their food blogs. But also what we're going to be doing, and we are doing, is we are providing programs to bloggers, educational programs, and introducing them to brands because, you know, bloggers a lot of times would like to have sponsors and advertisers on their sites.
Right.
And we also are producing a food blog conference this November, which is, you guys should see the lineup for it. It's pretty fantastic. And a lot of great education, lots of opportunity for networking. And so those are the kinds of things that we're providing to the bloggers in this community.
Now, is this the big event that's going on in Vegas?
Yeah, it's part of something called the World Food Championships in Las Vegas. And I've partnered with World Food Championships to create this food blog conference. Because there's so much going on in the food world happening at World Food Championships. So they've got like over 1,000 food competitors in 9 different categories coming to Las Vegas to compete. All these folks have qualified in different competitions around the country and kind of have elevated to the place where they have been invited to come out to Las Vegas and compete. And it's a big stage. I mean, it's right on Fremont and 3rd. It's like right in the center of Fremont Street in downtown Las Vegas. They take over the entire area. Ken Moore puts a huge kitchen coliseum right in the center of it all. And competitions happen for about 7 days this year. Last year was about 5. They've expanded it this year because it's growing so quickly. They did a television show with A&E last year. They'll be doing another television show again this year based on the competitions and the competitors. Very exciting and fun. And I don't know if you guys know, but I'm actually the world recipe champion 2013-2014. So I won last year, one of the categories.
Now, I read that about you, and it had something to do with macaroni and cheese, right?
That was one of my recipes. I had 3 recipes that got me the win. So that was, you know, because it's like a build situation. You start out with your first recipe, and if you get past a certain level, then you present another one. If you get past that level, you present, you know, your final dish. So you can present up to like 4. I did 3 and used the third that kind of won me the category for the 4th round. I didn't end up winning the 4th round, and I didn't end up winning the whole, you know, thing, which is the World Food Championship.
Wow, but congratulations.
Only seven people get those categories. So really, really cool experience. Exhausting, grueling, the most intense thing that you can experience in food competition, but also the coolest. It was just awesome.
So they paid you $1 million prize, and that's how you started Yummy Nation 6 months ago, right?
No, but I did win $10,000, and I had a good time.
Oh, there you go.
While I was there.
Wow. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to Laurie about us going to that thing in Vegas, but unfortunately, as time would work out with our schedules, we have to be in a movie, on a movie set that same weekend.
Mm-hmm.
In Florida. Laurie's got a speaking part in an upcoming movie. So, unfortunately,
that's
the movie outweighs the food competition, but maybe we'll be there next year.
Yeah, that movie lives on forever. That's pretty exciting, Laurie. How cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
What's your part, Lori? What are you playing?
Actually, I'm a waitress in a cafe. It's an independent film, but I'm really
pretty
excited.
Cool.
It's called Read Me.
And
we'll see what happens. We'll see how I am with the camera. I'm very bad when it comes to my pictures and photographs, and I just don't like that. So,
is
this your first time being? Is this your first time being in a movie?
And the first time, yes.
Yes, and it'll probably be my last. Like I told you, first and last.
And actually, Beth, they said they might use me as an extra, so I figured they're going to use me probably with some homeless guy laying on the street or something. But I guess they may be using me, too.
Yeah, I'll bring you out a coffee. How's that?
There you go. So let's go back to Yummy Nation. I was kind of perusing the website, and so you see you have over 100 food bloggers there. You've got some top name people. You want to do a few name drops?
Sure. Let's see. Who do we have there? Well, we have Emily Allen, who I think you guys might know. They're in Florida. She's Orlando-based. She's actually a good friend, and she is one of our contributors. Let's see, who else do we have? We have Zestuous. She's based out of Las Vegas, and she has amazing recipes and a beautiful site. Let me think, who else do we have on there? We've got so many good ones on there. We've got A Little Gourmet, Jen Doskovich, who is actually the world sandwich champion from this year, also a good friend. But many, 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 many others. We've got some really talented, very passionate food folks on there, and it's a fun place to go. We have a seasonal editorial calendar, although we take posts every single month from people. We've got the seasonal editorial calendar, so when you're thinking about what to do next for the next season as far as food's concerned, as far as entertaining, home entertaining and stuff, there's some awesome ideas that you'll come across. One of my favorite guys.
Yeah.
Bella.
I was gonna say, how many guys do you have on the site? Because I noticed it seemed like it'd be a lot of women. So what's the ratio of men to women on these food bloggers?
Well, I would say probably 85% women.
Okay.
But we do have our guys. We've got our guys. And I think I said Paul Bella, but his name is Peter Bella, and he's a former Chicago police officer, and he's called the Cooking Cop. Now I'm based in Chicago, so I know Peter. Based on some food events here in the Chicago area, he's so much fun, so interesting. Got a really interesting take on things. So we've got him, and then we've got why am I forgetting his name? Oh, Brett Heumann. Brett is based on the East Coast. Brett is completely his title of his blog used to be Mr. Martha. He actually had to change that, but he does gardening and home renovations and recipes that go along with this kind of very DIY kind of lifestyle that he leads. And so we've got, the Cooking Cop, and then we've got Brett Heumann from the East Coast. I mean, we've got, everyone with all their different takes. Some people are really focused on beautiful photography, and some people are focused on, recipes that are, based in certain ethnic realms. And, it's just very interesting, eclectic, and you can find them all in one place at Yummy Nation.
That's really cool. It's kind of like the same idea what we're putting together here for the radio. We're trying to have chefs and foodies all on one location on Green Ideas Radio, and it's coming together little by little, but we're planning on having 15 or 20 chefs joining us and foodie folks in the next month or so. And congratulations. It seems like it's taken off in 6 months, and you're doing really well.
Yeah, we're really excited. I think when you bring passionate people together, talented, passionate people together, you can't help but be successful. And we're seeing a big, big, giant uptick with it. We really think it's going to do well. And, for us, we want all the members of our community to, have more eyes on them and, be able to get promotion from everything we're doing. So our Twitter account, and bringing people into Twitter and bringing people into our Facebook community and stuff like that, that's been very helpful for our bloggers. They email me a lot and say, this has been one of the biggest things for us is actually having, people talking to us on Twitter and engaging with us in social media. Because it can kind of be a hard thing to you know, come across sometimes. You know, you have to work really, really hard in those social media, in the media world.
Mm-hmm. So well, congratulations, it's kind of nice. And I want everybody who doesn't know about Yummy Nation to check it out. It's yummination.com. You can find all these food bloggers there. And also check out the deal. I think it's November, was it 17th, 18th, or 16th, 17th, 18th in Vegas, the big food deal.
I can tell you it's November 12th through the 15th. And if you are in food media or a food blogger, food radio, anything, the people that we have 50 speakers coming out for. It's called Food Fight Right, foodfightright.com. It is so inexpensive. We've got a $249 price right now, a buy one, get one free. And it's in Las Vegas. The price of the rooms is $25 a night. And that includes, like, three meals, two social events, all of the sessions. We have Le Cordon Bleu taking all of our bloggers to their location in Las Vegas, spending, like, 3 hours teaching and feeding you. That's just one program.
Wow.
We have 50 speakers from around the country coming in, plus we have Celebrity Food Network chefs that are going to come and speak. We're focused on food. We've got amazing. It's a world class conference, and because it's our first year, we have it discounted really, really low. It's a great place to network and to learn if you are in food media, food blogger, anything to do with communicating good things about food. You should be there.
Well, it sounds great. Check out
yummination.com.
Beth, thank you very much for joining us today, and keep us posted. Good luck out there in Vegas, and we'll be having our eyes towards Hollywood that weekend, so we won't be able to make it.
Have fun. I hope you get your close-up, guys. Have a great time with that.
Right,
thank you so much for having
me
on.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, check out our site. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to bring back Crazy Bitch and get her back on the phone. Hopefully her phone is working, and we're going to have to hurry up because we're way behind today. Everyone hang tight and be right back.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
Yes, get yourself a Big Green Egg at biggreenegg.com. Go to the website, punch in your zip code. You can find a dealer near you. And this past week, Laurie and I, we had chicken thighs and pork ribs. And what else did we have? Steak on the Big Green Egg. And unbelievable. It makes me look like a pro. And I'm really not, but Big Green Egg makes me even look good. So get
then
yourself
you had
a
the yellow squash.
Egg. Oh, yeah, the yellow
the
squash.
The way you
that
roasted that.
With hot pepper, jalapeno peppers, that was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
right. I think we're going to try this again. We have Gina, hopefully. Gina,
yes.
Are you back?
Is this better?
Yes. I don't know why you've had feedback
not
before.
Perfect. It's not.
Yes, it sounds perfect. Now, let's finish your story because I cut you off right in the middle of it. We were talking about your mom operation, not your mom and pop operation, your mom operation. And you went into co-packing with your sauces, and the first batch that you received in just didn't look right, didn't smell right, didn't taste right. So then what did you do?
So I called them, and I scheduled me an appointment to go down there in Clearwater, Florida, and I'm in Tallahassee. So it was a 4-hour drive, but it was well worth it. I get down there, and I got to play in this big, huge commercial kitchen at this plant, and I was just overwhelmed, you know. But I did learn quite a few things. Soy sauce is not soy sauce. I use Kinkelman soy sauce. But everybody knows what that is, and it's a black color.
Right.
And it's real strong and has a lot of sodium.
Right.
They use them in some kind of restaurant supply thing in a gallon jug, and we pour little sample cups at each side by side. Oh, my God, their soy sauce looked like apple juice. And it stunk, and it was the most bitter-tasting thing I ever put in my mouth. I ran and got a bottle of water and an Altoid. I said, no, we're not using this. No. And come to find out, same thing happened with their liquid smoke. Their liquid smoke, you know, I used the one at Walmart, your favorite store, by the way. I used the one from Walmart, you know. And it's dark black as well. Theirs looked like apple juice again. And kind of have to compare the ingredients. The one at Walmart has molasses in it. And it takes that bitter taste out of it.
Interesting.
So that explains two different things that was very way off to.
When they substituted the correct recipe and the correct item that you had been using from Walmart and the Kinkerman soy sauce, then did your product taste right?
Yes, sir. I got to teach the chef how to make sauce. but I did learn something about my math skills also. I had to take some of the blame. Professional chefs, unlike myself, they like ounces and grams, not cups and teaspoons, okay?
Right.
And I think my calculations were kind of off a bit, too. So there were three major factors there.
Okay.
And
so
it was
the wrong ingredients and the wrong size of the ingredients. That no wonder it didn't taste right.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. But I don't have any scale to measure a teaspoon of cayenne powder, really. So I did the best I could, but it was well worth the trip, actually. They were also pureeing my sauce, and it looked like, regular Kraft barbecue. I don't puree mine. I do mine by hand. That's why it's called gourmet sauce. And so now it's back to the chunky flavor and the chunky appearance, like a gourmet sauce is. And so it's absolutely perfect. And
They did small batches for you, and they got the recipe right, and they got it all set up properly with the right amounts, and stirred it up the right way by hand versus puree. And now, where do you go from here? How many bottles are they going to make for you?
Well, they do it in 50-gallon batches.
Okay.
And I've got 6 products. And so I'm thinking that's over 1,000 and some odd bottles per batch. And so I'm waiting on a price quote from them now. I should get that first part next week. But I'm so excited. And this
What we learned from this experience because you have a recipe, and Laurie can attest to this past week, just because you have a recipe, it doesn't always come out the same way because you got to make sure you're using the right brand of products, doing it the right way. She had, make a long story short, she made pound cake, put too much Crisco in the pan, and the cake didn't turn out, and you couldn't get it out of the pan because the Crisco turned into oil down the bottom, and it messed up the cake. So what it boils down to is a recipe is not always going to turn out the same way unless you use the exact same ingredients. So anyway, I guess you learned a hard lesson, but the good thing is they figured it out.
Yes, they did, and I got one more announcement. What we're going to do, we're going to make the crazy bitch legal is what we're going to do. Believe it or not.
Okay.
Each one of my product lines are going to have 2 different labeling systems. One is going to be the fun one, the crazy bitch. The other label on the product is going to be CB's Crazy Sauce. And that will open up a lot more marketing for me. I've already got a verbal commitment from a local grocery store chain here in Florida. They're saying I get the word bitch off of it, yes.
Should we think the word crazy bitch actually made it difficult to get in? We talked about this the very first time you were on the show, and I wondered if that would be a marketing problem.
Well, Walmart's not going to put crazy bitch sauce on their shelf. I don't know why, but they just won't. And I'm thinking if I don't lose the crazy bitch, I want to be CB's crazy dog,
Well, there you go. Well, good luck.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to hang on with us the rest of the show because you're going to be my sidekick for the rest of the show. And anytime we have any of these guests that come on, if you want to ask a question, all you got to do is just interrupt me and ask questions. So hang tight. I'm going to bring on our next guest if everything's working right. Our next guest is Laurie likes this one because Laurie is Lebanese, and this lady has got a cookbook. It's called A Taste of Beirut, and it's all about Lebanese cooking. And Laurie is all into that. She's always talking to me about hummus and some of these other words I can't pronounce, but she's always talking about all these different foods. And the lady who's going to be joining us, I'm not sure which number is hers, so I'm going to take a chance here. I think this is her on 256. But anyway, Jumana Akkad, and let's see here. Is this her? Jumana, is this you?
No, I think this is Larry.
Oh, Larry, hang tight. We'll come back to you.
All right, man.
I had a potluck chance, and I missed it. Maybe this is Jumana. Jumana, are you there?
Yes, I'm there.
We've had nothing but problems here today, and thank you for hanging in there and being with us. So
oh,
I was just mentioning about your book, your cookbook, and Laurie got a copy of it. And Laurie is also part Lebanese, and she's been going through looking at all your photos and looking at all your recipes and really cool stuff. And wanted to have you on the show just to talk about the cookbook and all about Lebanese cooking. So I'm going to turn it over to you and start running my mouth. And I'm sure Laurie's going to chime in because I'm sure she has all kinds of questions.
Okay, great. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Tell us, what made you write the book?
Well, I had started a blog called Taste of Beirut, and people have been telling me, you should do a cookbook. And I felt the honest way to go about it is to go to Lebanon, live there. Thankfully, it was made easier because I still have relatives there. So I spent 3 solid years in Lebanon, and I cooked with local master cooks and spent half the time not just in Beirut but in the mountains. And so to really soak up the cuisine of the country and learn about people's little tips. And I discovered a whole lot of things I didn't know.
Well, the one thing we were noticing about the book, and Laurie can chime in here, but you go into great depth explaining in the book. A lot of cookbooks, you know, they're just recipes. But you seem to go a little bit more about the actual products themselves that you use in the recipes and more in depth. And Laurie, you were looking at some of those recipes this morning, and some of those jumped out at you. What were some of the ones you saw that you liked?
Well, I grew up. Hello, Jumana. How are you? My dad was 100% Lebanese. My mother's Irish, and English, but my dad was Lebanese, and he was an amazing cook, and he taught my mother a lot of dishes. And my grandparents came over from, I think it was the mountain area in Beirut when they were very young. So. We used to call it sweet corners, and you call it spinach turnovers, but we could never say the Arabic way. It's
fatayis. Yes, okay. The fatayis. And these are made at home, but they're also made in every single corner bakery.
Yes.
They're very, very popular.
I love the little snippets. You give snippets in detail of how it's made, and then what you do is if you say something of, say, a certain spice and someone's reading and doesn't know the spice, then you put in parentheses and explain what the spice is. Like, you really broke it down to a nice little snippet of a story, but the photography is gorgeous, and it's exquisite. It's exquisite, and there's a lot. I mean, it's 311 pages. It's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Well, really, I was fortunate. A lot of people, when they try to do a cookbook on a foreign culture, they only have the luxury of just going there for maybe a couple months. I was there for 3 years, and that was my main focus, was on learning as much as I could.
Right. This is
your
business. You lived and breathed it for 3 years, and I was in the publishing business for 20-something years, a very beautiful high-end, books and magazines. So I can appreciate the time and work and dedication. So bravo.
It was mentioned before, I was not just interested in recipes. I was interested in why is it that in Lebanon food is so good and so simple. I mean, you don't have to be a gourmet chef to cook good food if you're Lebanese. You just have to focus on simple, but it's that Lebanese talent is to create good food with very little at hand. I mean, if green beans are in season in the summer, well, people go out, get green beans, and with a little bit of onion and garlic and tomatoes, they make a wonderful dish. Yes, the Lubi. almost, yeah. That's the way it is. It's highest flavor with smallest amount of ingredients.
And healthy. Some of the healthy.
Yes. It's healthy because it's usually seasonal. I mean, that's how my focus was on traditional village style cooking, because of course nowadays if you're in Beirut, you get kids my kids' age, you know, in their 20s, they go out and eat sushi. They just you know, it's yeah, we're gonna go for sushi or we're gonna go have burgers. American style restaurants are really popular in Beirut. So I wasn't going to go there and report on that. I wanted to go in the village. And so I have, luckily, we have an orchard and a house in the mountain, and I was there every single week with the gardeners and with the locals, discussing food, cooking with them, asking them questions, finding out that, for example, the types of plants they would forage. And in the springtime, it's incredible the plants that people forage and eat, making salad, right? Yeah, all of it. It's the za'atar. Nobody in Lebanon who's from a village would ever dream of buying za'atar unless they made it themselves, you know.
Wow.
So they,
now, what is that? What is za'atar?
Za'atar is the equivalent of oregano, except it's a wild oregano, and it's all over the mountains in Lebanon, and people forage it in the summer when it's still in buds, and they dry it out, and then they mill it. You either can take it to your village mill for a song, they will, you know, do that kind of job, or which is something I have tried at home. I used a coffee grinder and I milled my za'atar, so it becomes powdery. Yeah. When you have that powder, then you make what is called the za'atar that they use for the manouche, which is a flatbread like a pizza that people eat in the morning. Now, for that za'atar, it's not just the oregano, but it's that and sumac. And some sesame seeds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the sumac is also all over the mountains. And now around September is when people forage it because it's a wild plant. And they dry it out and also mill it. And they mix about a quarter of that quantity with the za'atar. They add some toasted sesame seeds, a dash of salt, and that's it. You've got your za'atar mix. Lebanese,
that's interesting. My dad would put that on eggs. He would fry the egg in olive oil.
Oh, right.
And he'd put a smot on the. Oh, it's just, I love it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sumac is.
I have a question. Yes. Speaking of Laurie's father, he lived a long life, and she swears up and down that it had to do with the type of food that he ate. And do you find that when you're over in Lebanon, do you find that the people, do they live longer over there because of the diet?
Well, I have to tell you, I had a long session, actually two sessions, with a doctor of nutrition at the university there, St. Joseph University. And I was asking him, okay, what do you think about this Mediterranean diet thing? Is it for real or what? And he was telling me, for example, that Mediterranean diet can be divided up by country. I mean, the diet of the Greeks is not similar to the diets of the Lebanese. It's not the same as the Egyptians and so on. But he said that they did the study that I think his name was, he was an American public health expert who coined this Mediterranean diet, that it has been proven to be effective. And he even quoted another person, a French public health expert, who said that tabbouleh salad was the healthiest salad in the world. I mean, she was certainly, being French, you couldn't accuse her of being biased, because she's not saying a French salad is the healthiest.
What is a tabbouleh salad? What is that?
Okay, well, tabbouleh salad is very simple, again, but it has to be made with fresh parsley that is chopped up, fresh tomatoes, a little bit of bulgur. Bulgur is wheat that has been parboiled and cracked, and some mint, and it's dressed, an onion, and it's dressed with simply olive oil and lemon juice. and that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. So your book is called Taste of Beirut, and people can actually find that a website named the same, tasteofbeirut.com, and can they find the book other places too, like Amazon or other
yes,
book places?
The book is not sold at the moment through the blog. The book is sold on Amazon. It's also sold on BarnesandNoble.com. It's online.
Wonderful.
Well, I got a question. My next venture is going to be a Crazy Bitch cookbook. How hard was it to get the cookbook published?
I have to tell you that it took me several months to work on a proposal. And the minute it was submitted, it was accepted. The preparation. It took me a long time to put together the proper arguments. For example, I had already a following through the blog, so it wasn't just I woke up one day and decided I'm going to write a cookbook. I had been at it for years. I had had training as a pastry chef. I had worked in the field. I had, you know, done interviews on television. You know, I had all of that. Mm. Plus the fact that this was a cuisine that I was prepared to know intimately, and not just by virtue of my being born and raised there. I mean, that's not enough. You know, the fact what I did after this, living there, and mingling with the locals on an intimate basis and being in the kitchen cooking with them, that's also, and plus the fact that I update my blog on at least a biweekly basis, and I've got social media going on, so I have an interaction with people. And when they run into problems, you know, we discuss it. Kitchen problems. We don't get into anything besides.
You're not like Ann Landers from Beirut. You're just handling.
I'm not Ann Landers, and I'm not I don't get fake political sides either. So
I was about to start
strictly
my guts to you.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to be on our show, and everyone check out her book and go to her website. And Jermana, it was very interesting, and thank you for joining
us. All the
best to you. Keep
it was a pleasure to meet you both.
Thank you. Nice meeting you. Take care.
Okay.
Right. Bye-bye. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be bringing on our next guest, and he's a country rocker, or I guess you would call southern rocker. He was on our show. Oh, gosh, it was over almost two and a half years ago, and what I like about the guy, he likes Crazy Bitch, he likes barbecue, so I know he's a good guy just for that reason. his name is Larry Vaden, and Larry's going to be joining us here. We're going to be playing one of the old Lynyrd Skynyrd songs that he did a remake on that I love, and it's called Simple Man, if I can get this thing to work. And Larry's going to be coming on, telling us what's been going on with his life the last 2.5 years since he was last on our show, and find out what he's cooking on his grill and all those good things. As soon as I can figure out how to get this thing to work, that's what we're going to do. Oh, here we go. Larry Vaden, Simple Man. We'll be right back with Larry. One, hang tight.
Well, Mama told me when I was young, come sit beside me, my only son, and listen closely to what I say. And if you do this, it'll help you some sunny day. Well, take your time, don't live too fast. troubles will come and they will pass. Go find a woman, oh baby, and you'll find love. And don't forget, son, there is someone up above. And be a simple kind of man who be something you love and understand. And be a simple kind of man. But won't you do this for me, son, if you can? Forget your lust for rich man's gold. All that you need is in your soul. And you can do this, oh baby, if you just try. All that I want for you, my son, is to be satisfied and be a simple kind of man who be something you love and understand. And be a simple kind of man. But won't you do this for me, son, if you can? Well, don't you worry, you'll find yourself. Follow your heart and nothing else. And you can do this, oh baby, if you just try. All that I want for you, my son, is to be satisfied and be a simple kind of man. Be something you love and understand. And be a simple kind of man. But won't you do this for me, son, if you can? Kind of man who be something you love and understand. And be a simple kind of man. I want you to do this for me, son, if you
And that was Larry Vaden, Simple Man. I love that song because I'm a simple man. And we should have Larry with us this morning or this afternoon, wherever he is. Hey, good morning, good afternoon, Larry.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
We're hanging in there. It's been a rough day, but we're making it. So how you been? It's been 2.5 years, dude, you were on our show. I couldn't believe it. I went back and looked, and I thought, wow, 2.5 years ago. Welcome back.
Yeah. Welcome, man. I appreciate y'all having me back. I really do. I enjoy y'all's show, and I get to learn some new grilling tips every once in a while anyway.
So, in the last 2 years, what have you been doing? I see you on Reverb Nation. By the way, folks, if you want to find him, you can find him on Reverb Nation /Larry Baden. I see that you're like number four now.
Yeah, I'm moving on the charts a little bit, trying to anyway.
So you got the new music. We tried to
we tried to download some of your new music, and unfortunately we couldn't get the files to load last night. And so I'm playing some of your old stuff. But you got some new music now?
Yeah, I'm working on some. And right now I'm getting a lot of help from a lot of the local musicians in this area. That's, I guess they finally, they're getting to where they're getting used to me once I'm out here sticking my neck out everywhere and trying to help everybody. Now they're trying to start to repay the favor. But what you know is, in this area, and most shows, I mean, like last year, there was a documentary that came out about this area, and it told the whole history. And this area's got a lot of history. I mean, it does. And when you got 100 great bands around here, that's just awesome, and you only got 4 bars to play at, it's hard to get a gig around here.
Now, am I right? So, you're in Alabama. Is it Muscle Shoals? Is that right? That's what it's called?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what, yeah, Muscle Shoals, but we call it the Shoals area because, I mean, it's like 3 little towns that you can kind of cross the street and you go through all 3 towns at the same time. So, I mean, it's a little tight-knit community, but, you know, it's Alabama.
Well, are you an Auburn fan or a Roll Tide fan?
I am a Roll Tide fan all the way.
Roll Tide. But I'm a Seminole, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. You got to go for your home state, so.
Yeah, I guess that makes me I guess I'm the Terrapin then, from Maryland. So I got to root for the Terrapins, right? I think that's what they are.
What exactly are the Terrapins?
All right, Larry. So last time you were on, you talked about you like Boston Butts and Ribs. Are you still a Boston Butt Rib man?
Yeah, I'm a Drunken Chicken fan now.
Oh. Well, you know, you sit in Alabama, everybody has barbecues all the time in Alabama. It's like, it's just an excuse to everybody get together. But you guys have barbecues, like, what, 3 or 4 times a week?
Yeah, in the summertime, it's probably 7 days a week.
as long as
the sun's shining and stuff, and, you know, the sun's shining, the grills are smoking, and the tunes are playing. That's the way I look at it.
Now, I have to ask a question. Back when you were on 2.5 years ago, you said when you get on stage, you drink out of a 2-gallon gas can. Do you still do that?
Yes, I do. It's good to wet the old whistle every once in a while.
It's not gasoline, though.
No. It's kind of what state and city I'm playing in. If I'm up in Tennessee, it might be just regular water, but I might tell them it's moonshine. That's where I can kind of get the people a little bit drunker, or I can sound a little bit better by 1:30 at night.
And I tell you what, let's play another one of your songs. This is a song you sent me 2.5 years ago, and it's called Trail of Tears. And then we'll come back and chat a little bit more and see what else you're up to and what you'll be doing in the next couple of months. So hang on, this is Larry Vaden. The song is called Trail of Tears, and we'll be right back and talk to Larry. Indians took this Technical difficulties again, but we're back. I'm trying to get Larry back and Rick there.
I am here.
I'm here.
Lord have mercy. It's been one heck of a day. Anyway, so I was looking through on your Facebook page, and you got a kid that's got a cool name. What's your kid's name?
Lyric Todd.
Lyric. I love that.
Yes. Yeah, well, me and my wife, when she got pregnant, we sat and we discussed this, you know, and we said, you know, what's something that would mean something to both of us, you know, and that's one thing I do give props to my family, my kids. They were the backbone of my music. I mean, if it was not for them, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And once I'm on this subject, I'm going to go ahead and get a couple shout-outs, if you don't mind. Because if it wasn't for my family, my kids, and my wife pushing me to do what I do, and some friends I've got that I've met over, let's say, some of them I've known for a while, but here lately they've really pushed me, and that is Mr. Jay Stoltz. He's been in the music business in this area for 30 to 40 years. I mean, he knows his stuff. And a buddy that I met a couple of years ago that plays the guitar, he's finally getting on butt with me, and he's an awesome acoustic player. His name's Stephen Butler. And another singer that I know in this area he's about one of the best vocalists in this area, that he can sing about anything from Bruno Mars to Johnny Cash and hit it note for note. And that's Bobby Adday. But I mean, they have pushed me, and they was about a year ago I was about ready just to give up. I mean, I was gonna drop everything and just, you know, say, you know, I can't do it. But them and some other people just kind of put their foot up my butt and told me if I didn't keep on doing what I was doing, that was kind of just going to disown me. And after that, everything, it's kind of like, it kind of shot up. I mean, it's just like, I guess it gave me, I just need that little extra oomph. Because, I mean, it's like I was going to play shows and nobody show up, and I was like, man, what's going on? And so it's just, then, you know, like I've always played benefits. I mean, if I can help somebody that's got cancer, if I can raise enough money to get into that next treatment to let them live a little bit longer or save their life, or if it's a kid that's sick, you know, I mean, if I go raise $2,000 or $3,000, it don't matter what honky-tonk, what bar, what arena, or anything I'm playing at, you cannot pay me what I feel when I know I help somebody and save their life. I mean, that's just that process.
That's fantastic.
And that's why
you know what, and you know what, you know, karma, what goes around comes around, and you know, sometimes it takes a while. I mean, we've even learned with this radio show that it's not magic overnight, and you just got to keep at it, keep doing what you love, and then hopefully, you know, you get the right place, the right time, and someone finds you, and if it's your passion, you do it, and keep on going. So congratulations, and do you have CD out now that people can buy?
I am working on one. I am working on one right now, as a matter of fact, what's been going on the past couple, 2.5 years, I signed with a couple of record people, and when I did, they ringed me a good one, if I can say that. But, I mean, it was like one girl, she said she was going to be my music manager. She was going to get me going places. And I like, I paid her over $2,000 to do this, and she didn't do nothing. So it was like I lost $2,000 there, and I was like, what the heck? I said, everything you're doing, I can do myself and do off my Facebook page and everything else. And I said, I'm paying you $2,000 and paying your bills, and I'm out here working every day, you know, and being away from my family. And when I get done, I'm going to play music, still pursuing my dream. And I said, I'm paying you to sit on your butt and not do nothing. I said, so I don't need you anymore. And then I signed with another company up in Nashville, and it was costing me $300 a month. I was like, well, I said, that ain't that bad. He said, you know, he said, well, Larry, he said, we'll get you up here in the studio. We'll start recording everything. And so, you know, a couple of months, I guess I forked out about another $1,000. And he said, Larry, you got $30,000? I said, for what? He said, make your first CD and your video. I said, what am I paying you for then? I said, I thought, you know, if I signed with the record deal, y'all were supposed to, you know, invest in me and pay for everything
right.
and then, you know, see if I make it or not.
Right.
He said, no, you're just paying me $300 to... Well, I can say I'm your manager. I said, well, not no more. I said, I'm not paying for my $300 a month. Just say, hey, that's my boy Larry. No, I'm not doing that. I mean, because I work every day. I support my family. I'm an Alabama boy that's, you know, I'm just a country boy that works and provides for his family, and I'm trying to chase my dream, doing something I love. And, I mean,
well,
that's the way
great.
I look at it. And, I mean, if I got all these friends now that I'm trying to,
right.
they're helping me out now, and I was like, you know, I can do this by myself. And it's
people like you
that have got these internet radio shows that's helped us musicians that are struggling get more fan base, get our name out there, and it helps out a lot. So I want to take the say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for what you do and give us the opportunity to do what we do.
Oh, well, you're welcome. You know what? It's the reverse. What you just did just now makes my radio show good, and I'm glad to have you on, and we're glad we can be a little part of what you're doing. And there's a lot of sharks out there, Larry, believe me. I run into them along the way, and I have people who say they're going to take me places. The only place they've been taking me to is the poorhouse, so you gotta do it on your own and stick with it, with your passion. That's what you're doing. Now, are you playing any honky-tonks or any bars or anything or any places there in Alabama now?
Hey, I was, but here, matter of fact, once you just played that song, The Trail of Tears, a couple of weeks ago, I played The Trail of Tears.
Good.
And I played, there's a little store that down where the trail ends, it's down Waterloo, Alabama, they call it the end of the world. Because when you get down there, there's one gas station, one stop sign, no cell service, you know, nothing. I mean, it's the end. I mean, if you get down there and stranded, you're just stuck. I mean, that's just it. But when I went down there, it's like there's one little gas station right when you get, it's about 25 miles from Waterloo, and it's the last place everybody can buy alcohol. And the Trail of Tears down here is kind of, it's a bike rally where, you know, the Indians, there are eight Indians that drive this trail, you know, like the song says. It started off with an eight. Well, the word got out. I think this year it was over 200,000 motorcycles came down that trail.
Wow.
Went all the way from Chattanooga down to Waterloo.
Wow.
Well, they asked me to set up and play. I said, well, yeah, I'll set up and play. He said, well, how much you go charge? I said, if you let me play here, I said, I'll do it for tips. I said, I won't charge you nothing. I said, I'll do it because my great-grandmother was full-blooded Cherokee. I said, I'm going to pay respect to her. I said, I'll play for tips. I said, if I make tips, that's fine. I said, if I don't, I said, just give me free water every once in a while where I can wet my foot while I keep on singing. but by the time it was all said and done, a couple of my buddies came up there and watched me, gave me some support. The trail came through about 2 o'clock. And by 3:30 or 4, the word then got back down to Waterloo that there was a great musician playing up here at a convenience store. By 4 o'clock, there was 4,500 bucks up there in that parking lot listening to me play.
Wow. Wow.
And I was like, man, where did all these people come from? Well, by the time I took a break, and when I did, I seen a guy walk up to me. He had like a VIP pass that said Trail of Tears. I was like, what the heck is this? I was like, how do you get a VIP pass to ride in a motorcycle thing? Well, it was one of the original riders that started the trail. And him and his daughter came up there, and they handed me $50. He said, son, I just want to say thank you for what you're doing. And I was like, well, what am I doing? I said, I'm just paying respect to my ancestors. I said, you know, I thought that's what you do, the family and stuff. You just, you know, you respect your family. And if it's anything you can do, you do it. And, you know, that's just family. That's blood. Well, he, me and him sit there and talk for a little while. And on the trail, when they come from Chattanooga all the way down here to Waterloo, they make one stop. And that's in Huntsville, Alabama. It's the Harley-Davidson Rocket Place. And he says, he went to the store and he says, I'll tell you what, he says, if you let this guy come here next year, he says, I'll make this another stop for the trail. And he says, I'll bring 160 plus bikes in here. And he, we'll sit here for 2 or 3 hours and listen to him play. And he says, and that's where, you know, you have plenty of business. You know, make sure you got plenty of food. And he says, we'll make sure this is a trot stop. And he says, we'll make sure we put you in every motorcycle magazine there is. Tell him he's playing and all that. But, you know, all that, you know, I was like, he looked at me and said, where are you going to play next year? I was like, well, I guess. I mean, how can I tell the dude that started the trail here? No, I ain't playing for you. So I said, yeah, I'll play. Well, you know, after it was all said and done that day, I made $200-something in tips. I got 16 more gigs. They're talking about me doing a bike rally tour next year. And now the dude that started the Trail of Tears wants the song we just played, wants me to redo it, and he's going to try to make that like an official song for the Trail of Tears.
So
it kind of tells
so
the story
cool.
how everything happened.
Wow.
But it goes back to what you say. It's all about where you're at and when you're doing it and who's listening.
That is fantastic. That is a great story. Congratulations. And everybody
well,
who's out
you.
There listening, if you want to find out more about Larry and also more about his music, you go to ReverbNation.com/LarryVaden. That's VADEN. And you can hear a lot of his music he's got on Reverb Nation. And Larry, you're always welcome back. When you cut that CD, make sure you let us know and give us the exclusive. We want to be the first ones to play, have your new music.
Oh, man, I tell you what, I will sure do that, and I will make sure that if the first company that comes up to clean out the CD burner, it will get sent to y'all or emailed to y'all, either one. And I got a couple more music pages. I go ahead just on Facebook, you just look up under Larry Vaden, and that's my personal page. I think I can still set a few more friends on there before they say I'm at my limit. But if not, I got on Facebook, I got a Larry Vaden Songwriters. And that's one page that here in the past 2 weeks, I had, I think, 600 fans. And a week and a half, I went from 600 to 1,900.
Wow.
So all my fans out there, man, I appreciate what y'all are doing and supporting my music. I do. I love y'all from the bottom of my heart. Because if it wasn't for my fans, my friends, I would not be doing what I do and helping people with this God-given talent that he gave me. So if God gave me a talent to sing and play, I'm going to pay the favor and play for benefits and help people out when they need it. So if you're listening in the Shells area and you need a musician to play for your benefit, if somebody's sick or something, just look me up on Facebook, and I'll be the first one there with my guitar on my back ready to play.
Well, fantastic. Everybody check him out on all his Facebook pages and check him out on Reverb Nation. Larry, you're always welcome back, dude.
All right, man. Well, yeah, let me know. Hey, maybe one time we can get together and we'll have a little grilling competition or something.
Hey, there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
On the big green egg. We'll get on the big green egg and see if we can get it a bowling.
All right, take care. Everyone check out Larry's site and all his Facebook pages, and we appreciate him taking time to be on our show today. And we're almost out of time. And crazy bitch, you didn't get a whole lot to say, but I tell you what, you picked a good time to be on the show. What a great show we had.
Oh, he was awesome. I got to look him up. He was really awesome.
Yep.
Nice
guy. He needs some crazy
Super bitch nice
songs,
guy.
Too, you know, for his grilling.
He what?
He needs some crazy bitch sauce for his grilling.
There you go. Well, we do that competition
that.
In Alabama. We'll make sure that we bring some crazy bitch sauce. Hey, it looks like, speaking of crazy people, looks like Brian's calling back. And hold on a second. Let
oh,
me
no.
say goodbye. The Wines are you back with us?
Hey, I guess
hey.
I missed a good show. Of course I wasn't there, and I missed a good show.
Of course.
Awesome.
But, hey, thanks, Gina, for covering for me. And actually, if you want to do it again next week, I'm going to be on location at another event. So we may need you to call in.
I tell you what, I'll work for one.
I can provide you with wine. I promise you that. I can provide you with wine.
All right, guys, I got to shut her down here. We're down to the last 5 minutes. And, of course, I always ask the same question. Laurie, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Believe it or not, I actually have a little quick snippet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
One quick snippet. Okay. Everyone knows how me and you are addicted to Lay's potato chips. We buy the big bag. We love it.
But I just found out that Lay's potato chips has a pork roll and cheese potato chip. And on the bag, right on the bag, it says it's a Jersey thing. Because us Jersey girls, we love pork roll. And a little sack, delicious. So you bet when I go home, I'm going to be looking for that, and I'm going to buy it. And I will report on it next time.
Yes, definitely report on that when you go to Jersey. And Crazy
yes.
Bitch, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I just want to thank you again for having me on, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And those potato chips have got to be better than the cappuccino ones.
Yes, definitely. This cappuccino one tastes nasty. It's like cardboard.
I have.
And by the way,
I didn't mention
her website. Gina's website is crazybitchsauce.com. Or I guess, are you going to change your site now to CB Sauce?
I've already got the domain reserved and it's pointing to it, yes.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So everybody check out her website. She's got great sauce. I have used it on lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she does have the funny one called Chicken Shit, but it doesn't taste like chicken shit. It tastes really good. But check out her website. And, Brian, I'll let you have the last word before I sign out. You got anything you want to say about the wine world or anything else?
No, I just want to thank my sister Gina for being there for me. And I'm going to listen to the show later on, and I'm sure that there were moments that she needed to keep you in line. So I'm definitely, without even hearing the show, I'm definitely proud of the work you did today.
All right, guys, I got to call it quits here. Don't forget, tomorrow night we have our Untamed Chef show at 9 p.m. On Tuesday, we've got the Hot Sauce show with our good buddy John Dilly and Def Conversations. And Wednesday, we got Chef Christo. And this month, we're going to bring in on a few new shows. So check out greenideasradio.com. That's it. I'm going to close out with Made in Dixie. The song is called Bring It On. Everyone, bring it on again next Saturday. We'll see you then.